the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, please visit our website, https://rabr.kaile.johansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Generally, I've changed shirts to shit. What? This is another episode, and you're going to do that for every single episode? What we could have talked about.
None.
And then have an ending.
It's the intro.
I know. But still.
Same thing we do for everything. All right. Today we're reviewing Tales of the Empire Season 1, Episode 2, Path of Anger. We're going to discuss the episode, do an unboxing, and a detailed recap with question or talking, opinions at the end. And then we're going to, drive Scott crazy and beg you for feedback again. So we're going to do that again too. And then we're going to have an outro after that. So, all right. So the first thing is the unboxing here.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Oh, look at how fast that went. All right. So here's our box. I got to get the Sharpie tool because this one's taped up. This is a regular box. Let me open this side. And the top. Oh, there we go. Oh, it's even wrapped in paper, too. All right. I think this is going to be Scott's favorite right here. So let's see. Take it off camera so you can't see it.
Oh, where'd it go?
I don't know.
Ooh. It's Princess Leia. In her white sexy outfit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like the other outfit.
I know you do. Let's go to the side. Ooh. 595 is the number. The back. So this is original New Hope Fez series.
Fancy.
Look, we got Luke and
New Hope. And New Hope. Darth Vader. Original movie.
Darn.
Then there's the same side, 595. And look, we got the top there where she they're always peeking over the top. What is that, like a scream or something?
Ah. Obi-Wan, you are my only hope.
Yeah, that one. All right, let me. That's our unboxing, so let me flip this up. Yay, unboxing! Yay! Woo, there I am.
Ah!
It's very crooked. I don't like crooked. Okay, that's better. Get that off the side. Put that on my
I don't like crooked.
Okay, sure. All right, so Season 1, Episode 2, The Path of Anger. We'll start off with the director of Nate Villanova, David Filoni, Amanda Rose Munoz again. And, of course, the music scored by Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, and Deanna Kinner. This episode, we had Admiral Thrawn as Lars Mikkelsen was Admiral Thrawn. Gilead Pallion, which is one of the commanders, I believe. Xander Berkeley. Moff Isadin, which I think was in charge of that little village area that we were at, I think, with Morgan.
You mean the Chinese Jedi?
No. He was played by Tom Kendall. Villager was played by Tom Conkle. We had, of course, Morgan Elsbeth, played by Deanna Lee and Cinto. Ruka, played by Warwick Davis, which you all know Warwick Davis quite a bit. Original, guy in when he played in that ring, that other show too, whatever. Anyway, Villager 2 was played by Megan Marchin. Villager 3 by Shelby Young. And Wing, which is the little Chinese guy in this episode, his name is Wing T. Chow. Again, episode title is Path of Fear. Aired on May 4th. Was only 15 minutes long. And this one took place between 9 and 2 before the Battle of Yavin. So, you know, because we're before the battle, the numbers get smaller as you get closer to the Battle of Yavin. So between 9 and 2.
So this is way after the batch.
Yeah, so this is probably at least 10 years later from the first episode.
This would have been like during the time period when Omega, at the end of the Bad Batch, probably takes off.
Possibly. Possibly. It would have been Darth Vader's time, too. He was around 3 or 2 or something like that, up until, of course, obviously, till the end.
Yeah.
So, with that, that means it's a great time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay, 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 yay. The episode opens. What? The episode opens with Imperial class Star Destroyer and 4 small Venture class destroyers approaching Coruscant. Aboard the Star Destroyer is Morgan Elizabeth. As she is trying to promote her TIE Fighter Defender multi-role starfighter. Which is an interesting thing because we always attributed those to Admiral Thrawn creating those. It was her idea, and he took it from her. We'll see it later in the episode where he takes it. He grabs it from her. He didn't steal it. He asked her for it. Several Imperial Naval officers telling them they are more maneuverable, but fuel consumption and a better deflector shields are needed. Moff Isidin opinions that the cost is astronomical and asks about the feasibility of their production. Elizabeth replies that her factory base is on Corvus, a planet which is in raw goods and materials. She says that Corvus system is rich in resources. This is the one where she's making all the slaves do all the work, or all the villagers do the work. Isidin declines her proposal, explaining that the Empire is more interested in exploiting systems with resources than starfighters at all. And he suggests that she return to Corvus to prepare for the Empire's retrieval of all their assets and resources. Elizabeth is disappointed. He says, "Oh, that's not what I wanted."
He said, "Return to your people." She didn't like that very much.
Yeah. No. Because she wanted him to buy the starfighter.
I'm out.
But weren't her people?
You're out?
I'm out. I'm getting away with that.
No.
The hook. Well, I'm gone. Bye.
See.
Shortly after. See ya. Enjoy. Shortly after the Imperial officer named Gilead Pelion compliments her work, he notices that she changed the TIE design engine manifold. And Elizabeth explains that the interior twin ion engines are inefficient for the amount of power that the TIE Defender needs, saying it is simple logic. So she's saying the old style is bad, and this style is taking advantage of that. Elizabeth is concerned that the Empire is going to steal her designs and resources, and Pelion responds that he is interested in her knowledge and creativity. Pelion explains that his superior, Grand Admiral Thrawn, sent him to these meetings to search for talent. He then asks why Elizabeth wants to land her talents and visions to the Empire. He replies that it is for the glory of the Empire. And Pelion thanks the magistrate before leaving. He says, "That's not what I wanted to hear. See ya." A starship with fixed wings lands on Corvus settlement of Caldon, and Elizabeth exits the starship. where she is met by several villagers, including Wing, who asks about the success of her mission. Did it work? Elizabeth explains that the meeting did not succeed because the Empire is only interested in resources rather than bringing them work and prosperity. Wing confronts Elizabeth about her promise that she will make the Empire will make better things for them. She counters that she found their village and they were nothing but rotting backwater world. She reminds them that she built their fortifications and strengthened and runs the systems, and they are now under her protection. The Aqualish grumbles that they let Elizabeth run their lives. He says that they worked for that success. A woman says that she promised them wealth. Where's my money? They sacrificed for her. When the Aqualish accuses Elizabeth of lying, she counters that everything comes at a cost. HK-87 assassin droids escort Elizabeth to her compound as the villagers respond with anger and announce her as a witch, which she really is. Later that night, Elizabeth says she is hurt that the people have turned on her after all that she has done for them. She renounces them as her people. No longer my people. Regarding them ungrateful. Shortly later, Elizabeth and her HK-87 droids are attacked by a Norgi assassin, Ruka. His name's Ruka, who cuts down the droids with his electro staff. Elizabeth fights back with her Beskar spear. The two battle atop of the battlement, which neither side are able to gain an upper hand. Below, the villagers watch in horror. A woman suggests calling the guards, but Wing says, hey, no, that's not a good idea. This is our chance to get her killed over, get her over with. Following a prolonged fight, Ruka knocks the spear out of Elizabeth's hands before he can deliver a killing blow. She dodges him and pushes his weapon away. Retrieving her spear, she fights Ruka in a second round and knocks his electric staff out of his hand. Elizabeth demands to know who sent him at spear point, and Ruka maintains defiant in silence, not telling anybody. Pelion arrives not long after and compliments Elizabeth on her combat skills. He apologized for the theatrics, saying that the Empire wanted to be sure that she could handle herself. Pelion dismisses Ruka, who departs with a grunt. Elizabeth asks if she is testing him. Pelion then leaves, but not before ushering his superior, Admiral Thrawn. Thrawn says that Elizabeth is one of the last Night Sisters, and he is curious about her skills. Elizabeth offers to display her combat skills, but Thrawn says his interest is based in admiration and ambition. When Elizabeth asks him who she is, he introduces himself as Admiral Thrawn and explains that Pelion had informed him about her presence and how she was upended by Moff Isdian. Elizabeth and Pelion agree that Isdian is shorthanded, and Thrawn describes the Empire is a magnificent construction with vulnerabilities. While many of his colleagues think on a grand scale, they overlook small problems which fester into big ones. Thrawn seeks Elizabeth's help in combating the growing rebellion. When Elizabeth complains the Empire is only interested in exploiting Corvus's resources, Thrawn agrees with that it is short-sighted. While her designs are brilliant, he says they are not cost effective. Thrawn says that the Empire trades lives for profit, which he predicts will create a weak and disillusioned military. Thrawn says he will lead to decline. Elizabeth asks why they should care about the Imperial decline, and Thrawn responds that Elizabeth lied about being motivated by Imperial glory. He says Some, like Aizen, are motivated by greed, others by powers. But she is by all ambition of power. Thrawn asks Elizabeth why she seeks imperial favor. Hearing the angry roar of the crowd, Elizabeth says that she is motivated by revenge. He explains that her people experienced genocide years ago and causing their culture and their beliefs to fade. Elizabeth says that she seeks power to destroy their enemies. Adding to her anger gives her strength. She offers this strength to the Empire, and Thrawn accepts. Gazing at three Star Destroyers hovering above her, Elizabeth asks if the Aizen fleet. This is the Aizen fleet, and Thrawn replies, "This is the portion of her fleet." Wing and other villagers regard the arrival of the Imperial fleet as a sign of Elizabeth's victory. Elizabeth smiles as she gazes into the night sky. So this is her fleet. Interesting. And then we see the credits are rolling. What do you think about that one, Scott? We get to see Admiral Thrawn and how he got hooked up with Elizabeth.
Yeah, but of course, you know, you say she offered the Empire her designs. They just took them.
No, they didn't.
She didn't get no benefit from it.
They didn't take him either. She got Thrawn is the only one that took her designs here at the end.
Uh-huh.
And that's because he wanted her to command a fleet of ships, which he talked about here at the end too. She asks about this fleet that's above her head, and he says that's the only portion of her fleet. So he's given her a fleet of ships to defend herself if they'll do the new design, which is the new design that Thrawn uses in the future. We see it several times, and you know, it's seen a couple times in different places too. But anyway, let's talk about some feedback, huh?
Feedback. @kylejohansen.us. That's feedback. PAIOEJOHANSEN.US.
Feedback. Yeah, so like I said, we got the email feedback@kylejohansen.us. We also have a link on the left-hand side. It's always over there. I never get it right. And it will give you a form to fill out. And that comes to us as well. We're on Twitter/X @super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky also at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And then we have audio and video both on YouTube now. And there's comments that you can leave there as well. So send us all your feedback. We want to know. We want to interact with you. We don't want to just be reading stuff out. We want to discuss stuff. So, anything else, Scott? Next episode?
Next episode.
Sure. All right, here we go.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansen.us. That's rabr.kylejohansen.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansen.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Nope. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
It's prohibited.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton.
Yeah,
say goodbye now.
Goodbye.